Okay, thanks, Tom. It's good to be here this year and see all of you again. It's a fairly challenging topic, but I understand we're not being recorded, so I guess that's maybe a good thing. So I think most of you are coming into the room thinking, well, how can I get more funding for my research area? I mean, that's basically the bottom line here, and I would like to tell you, you know, there's this little form you fill out and we'll just send you the money, but I think most of you know it doesn't happen quite that way. So this is a little cartoon, actually, that our director, Sunny Ramaswamy, had developed. So it talks about how we set our priorities at NIFA. And sort of coming in at the top, the Farm Bill priorities is, you know, that's legislation, so we got to do that. There are various strategic plans and action plans that we need to show all our, if you look through the RFA, you notice there's all this stuff at the beginning about how, which goal it addresses, and that's because that is something we need to do as well. Generally, those action plans and strategic plans are pretty broad, so pretty much everything you want to do is probably in there. So that's not a big, I would say, a big thing that changes the small areas of our RFAs. NARIAD is big, but again, the NARIAD priorities are generally pretty broad as well. So again, they're not going to be sort of doing the fine-tuning work. The White Horse, White House priorities, those are big for us. You know, pollinators was a big thing. Childhood obesity was a big thing, and so you do see that reflected in our priorities. Congress doesn't always like the White House priorities, but the President Obama is my boss. And he's Tom's boss, and you know, that is a pretty important source of stakeholder inputs. OSTP, also, that's the Office of Science and Technology Programs. They'll decide something needs more funding. Plant breeding needs more funding, or pollinators, or antimicrobial research. So that's another sort of a big area that is one of a source of stakeholder input. And then there's others, I don't know why exactly they oriented the graphics this way. Stakeholder priorities down here would be what you guys would think is important, or what the commodity groups that you work with would think is important, what your industry thinks is important. So that's probably the source that most directly affects sort of the fine tuning of our RFAs. Scientific societies can also have input down here. Other federal agencies, we collaborate on a number of interagency agreements. So if NSF has some money that, well, high throughput phenotyping is a potential area of collaboration. Sort of microbes are another area of collaboration with NSF, so we can do interagency agreements there. All the land-grant universities have roadmaps, and again, they're pretty general, but certainly the land-grant universities as a whole are very important in the input that they provide to our administrators. So there are lots of sources. The one I wanted to mention specifically is, as Tom said, we've got a lot of listening sessions coming up, and sometimes we distribute information on these listening sessions through various listservs, so you may be on it. But we recently redid our NIFA webpage, and it's actually much better now. We're getting better on IT. Dr. Ramaswamy's put a lot of money into IT, and it has, I would say, maybe a little hard to see the payback so far, but the new website is very nice. And if you go to the new website and search under events, we don't have a stakeholder page. I'm trying to get them to work on that. There isn't anything yet. But if you look at events, you can see anything that's coming up on the calendar. And there'll be listening sessions for commodity boards, centers of excellence, any AFRI, anything that's coming up like that. And these are generally open. Usually they're web-based. A few of them are come to D.C. So there's one last part of this, which is actually what is in our RFA priorities. And Sunny has it as a faucet, it's really more like a sausage grinder. So somehow all this comes out. So I guess the point is that, we're looking at, in some ways we have relatively little flexibility, and we have a lot of things that are up in the air, especially sort of at my level. A lot of these decisions are made. But the question is, how do the people in this room influence priorities? I mean, just in general, through your professional societies, I know you already do this, but, congratulations, and keep it up through your professional societies and the land-grant universities. Just increased agricultural research funding in general. And I have SCRI down because that was part of the topic at AFRI, but certainly OREI and Matt Guanjo is sitting in the back there. And I'm sure he would also say OREI. These are set up for the next few years. If you come to our director and our leadership and you say, I want this new initiative, I mean water, say, is one, or pollinators or whatever, there's going to be a sort of, well, show me the money, because in order to, and I'll show you sort of how our budgets are divided. And there's not a lot of free money, basically, a lot of discretionary money. It's all pretty much parsed out to things we're funding right now. So generally new initiatives need new money. So, well, some of you remember Roger Beachy, his idea was to really grow the programs. And they have to a certain extent, but still, it looks like next year is going to be about the same as this year, as far as AFRI goes. So there's no new money. It's hard to do a lot of new initiatives. And I'm going to show you the next couple slides is that USDA research and just general federal research investments have declined relative to other countries, the private sector, and even other federal agencies. So we just haven't gotten those research, that research funding boost that Roger Beachy had envisioned. And then a final plug into documentary impacts. We just had a really good workshop on that. So send those to us. Another thing that is really helpful on our side is to make sure you do the coding correctly. Anne-Marie Throw introduced a new plant breeding code, which is 1080. So remember 1080. You can remember it because it's actually 1081, but remember 1080 because that's the number of pixels on a high-definition television, unless you guys have a lot more money than I do and have a super high. But anyway, so getting the right coding in. Also for graduate students, they're coded under research unless there's an education component in. So make sure if you have some graduate students that shows up in your yearly reports and your final technical reports. And remember, on those final technical reports, no new awards, and Megan's been some of the enforcer on some of this, no new awards until all those progress reports and final reports are submitted. So we do use that. I know it just seems like a lot of work for nothing, and you're already doing more at your universities than you used to do or you would like to do. But it is sort of the bottom line for us is getting those final reports in, having the numbers hopefully accurate, and having some good impacts. We're getting some improvements made to our IT system, so it's actually easier to search. And actually in our new website, if you go to something called the Data Gateway, you can actually do a lot of searches yourself. It's a lot easier than it used to be. You can search by congressional district, keywords, all sorts of criteria. And it's actually quite a good tool. So, I would suggest going there and playing around a little bit. And that's all based on those keywords that you put in. And it's not actually keywords, it's those subject KAs and the subjects of investigation. So just to show you sort of what's happened, this is, you can see those down lines. This is looking at the, actually it's the growth in research and development funding. And if you can see, looking at the 2000s, so from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, most of the research funding was coming from the public sector, and still true for the 70s and 80s. By the 1990s, more of R&D money was coming from the private sector than the public sector, and that trend is still continuing now with 56% of R&D funding in the private sector and only 44% in the public sector. So the growth just overall in R&D has decreased. Not only that, but I mean, this is a concern for our agency. We're not the only players in the money that your experiment stations are bringing down. So USDA share of the total federal funding, which is here, has declined relative to the federal share of total state experiment station funds, which means more investigators at land-grant universities are getting funding from NSF, NIH, APHIS, our other departments, other federal agencies. So like I say, there's not a lot of money to play around with. If you look at this was the 2015 budget, it's $1.5 billion, which sounds like a lot of money. A lot of that is tied up in the mandatory money, and then broken down otherwise. If you look at just AFRI, again, $325 million sounds like a lot of money. So for FY 2015, the challenge areas got $138 million. Foundational will be about equal to, a little bit less, but about equal to that. Challenge areas sort of have those priorities do vary from year to year, but they're set up. The food security one would probably be the most relevant for most people here, but don't forget about climate change, the new water initiative, obesity, if you're doing any work in food systems. Foundationals are the ones that are sort of the most, I guess you could say the most basic science, but also the most open, and they're also the most competitive. So that's down to $124 million. So again, to do a new initiative, you sort of need new money. And then interagency collaborations are $25 million, and administration and sort of other things, you lose another $20 million. So sort of not a lot of money there we have to play around with. And most of the non-AFRI money has specific legislative priorities. I'll talk about some of the things we've done with our plant breeding investments in the federal partners session on Friday. So I can break that down a little more. But as an individual, you have some options. Certainly you can talk to the NPL. Though probably just saying I need more money for cauliflower breeding. It's not, you know, Tom will do the best he can for you, but, you know, your proposal has to stand on your own. But if you have a more general area of science that you think is really exciting or leading edge, you know, certainly talk to the NPL. And the more that, like I say, there are a lot of sources of input. So if our administrators are hearing from the NPLs, the ideas we pass up, but they're also hearing from the state experiment station leaders, from Congress, that this is an important area, it's a lot more likely to get into the AFRI priorities than just sort of one person talking to one person. So what we'd like to do is have sort of a short list of exciting research areas for AFRI and others, and then as some of these new initiatives come down from the top, as I showed you in the first slide, we can fit them in. You know, does it fit into water? Does it fit into pollinators? Whatever. Maybe it's just a new thing. But think generally. Again, not really specific. I already mentioned we have a new website, so check out the opportunities for stakeholder input. Another new thing that's coming down the pike are the commodity boards. Tom's going to talk more about that, and I have some handouts on that too, and then work through ASHS and your extension leaders. So that's the end of my slides.